Hey everybody, thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We are all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 23rd of April, 2015. Last week, we had a really great show with Scott Benner, and he is many things, a diabetes father to Arden, who lives with diabetes. He's the host of a new diabetes podcast called the Juice Box Podcast, which is a lot of fun. I encourage you to check that out. Author of a very popular book called Life is Short, Laundry is Eternal, and also writes a wonderful blog about being a stay-at-home dad and caring for Arden and her diabetes at Arden's Day. So it was a wonderful episode, and I encourage you to take a listen to last week's episode if you have time. This week we are doing a host show, and what that means is we don't have a special guest. We're just going to be kind of visiting amongst ourselves, and if you you may have noticed we had some technical difficulties to get the show off the ground tonight, but I always say that living with diabetes makes you really, really good at rolling with the punches and just kind of doing the best you can with whatever circumstances come your way. So tonight is a wonderful example of that. So with that, we would love to hear from anyone out there listening tonight. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. Our other co-host, George, will be joining us shortly. And then we've also got the founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse. Charisse, how are you tonight?
I am doing great. I am sitting here wondering why my computer wants to malfunction. But other than that, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, your computer could not have acted up at the worst possible time, right? Like it's down to the wire, time to get the show going. And for our listeners, to get the show going, one of us, anyways, logs in using a computer to the web interface and does a few things on the computer and presses a few magic buttons, and then all three of us call in to the Blog Talk Radio phone number, and then voila, here we are. Well, unless one of us does that magic stuff on the computer, none of us can call in and get the show started. So I got a frantic text message from Charisse it was maybe a minute or 30 seconds before showtime, saying, "Uh-oh, our computer's acting up." And so I hustled up to get the show going here. So we're gonna kind of catch our breath and get our feet under us a little bit, aren't we?
Yes, yes. And you know what I was just thinking? I was thinking, oh my gosh, because usually sometimes you're out, you know, doing with the type 1 support group down in Minnesota, mm-hmm. or you're doing something with, you know, the Red Cross, or you're just doing something and you're not always at home. So I hope I caught you when you were at least at home.
Yeah, no, tonight I am at home and it worked out well. But you're right, because sometimes I am out and about, and that's one of the things that's actually really nice about using Blog Talk Radio for the show is when I am on the move, I don't need anything more than a phone a phone connection and I can just dial into the show and join you and George and our guest. But if that were the case tonight, then we'd be in a bit of trouble. But luckily for all of us, that I'm home and in front of a computer and home base, so it worked out well.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, oh man, I hope he's home. I hope he's home. Because, like, I sat there and I'm like, okay, maybe it's just me. And I'm like, you know what? It's not working. So how's your week going?
Yeah, everything's going good here. I've been busy at the doctor's office with just it's that time of year for routine physical. And I've been getting a little more aggressive about going to physical therapy for some of these nagging sports injuries and I'm tired of them affecting my exercise. So I feel like I've been spending a lot of time at the doctor's office and physical therapy and stuff like that. But it's it's making a difference, and I'm hoping to be able to get back to my exercise routine. I've been missing it.
Right. I was about to say, because usually you're at the gym playing basketball, or you haven't really got on a bike in quite some time, but you were running, and because you have, what, plantar fasciitis, mm-hmm. is what?
That's what it was, but it actually, the physical therapist that I was working with, we figure that it may not actually be that. It may be more of an acute, just a small minor injury to the plantar fasciitis or whatever that, I think that's still the name of the tissue or the tendons down there. But the treatment's really kind of still the same as some stretching and a little bit of this special like massage technique that she taught me. It's been kind of just a long and frustrating road, because you're right. I really enjoy playing basketball, and I used to play, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a week, and now I've been playing just once a week. And in addition to that, I was doing some running, and I haven't been doing that as much. And I just feel, going from last year having run my first half marathon, I was feeling the best ever, to struggling with some, I mean, these are all relatively minor injuries, but they've just knocked me out of my routine and made exercising painful and not fun. And so I feel like I'm kind of crawling out of the valley of exercise and fitness just being at the worst level that I've been in a long time. So, but things are getting better, and I'm, like I say, I've gotten a little more aggressive about pushing for treatment and learning exercises that I can do, and not just sitting around waiting for them to go away, but being a little more active in the care and treatment of them. So I got to get back to it, because I can't just I need that exercise. I miss it.
Definitely, I was about to say, because I Friday I went to a Janssen event, and it was healthy. It's more like a health e-patient summit. So it was people that had different disease states brought together by Janssen. And it was a pretty cool conference. But, you know, of course, after, you know, dinner Friday night, I hung out with Carrie and Carrie Sparling, Karen Graffio, Kim Velasnik, and also Brian. And so they're talking about Fitbits. And I'm like, you know, hey, I thought about it, but I don't really see how that would help me do anything, right? So they was like, yeah, download the app, and I'm going to beat you. And I'm like, uh-oh. This is where I'm not competitive in a lot of things, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, I am so competitive. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to download this app. And if I download the app and if I'm really into this, really get into it, then I'll go buy a Fitbit. So our challenge started Monday, right? So Ben, which is somebody that's in the challenge group, he's actually on Twitter. He already has, it's Thursday, he already has over 124,000 steps. Carrie has over 100,000 steps. Laddie has like 70,000. And here I am at 58,000. I know I won't be able to beat Ben, and I know I won't be able to beat Karen, and I probably will get very close to Laddie. But I have taken almost 60,000 steps in less than 3 days. The cool thing is,
wow,
though, because what I did was is I created a standing desk at work. So, Scott, when I tell you this, you're not going to believe it. I usually am up, right, until about 12 o'clock, 11, 12 o'clock every night. Monday,
yeah,
I come home, and I'm, like, conked out. Tuesday, I came home. I went to sleep at 10 o'clock. Yesterday, I got home. I went to bed at about 8:45.
Wow.
Because, huh, and my blood sugars have been phenomenal. I mean, just the standing all day, because literally I really do stand up all day, and then I kind of do my movements in between. Like when I go talk to my coworkers or whatever, I kind of take the long way to go talk to them. But I feel so good that it's almost like I have to decrease my basal settings so I won't go low, because I keep going low. And I'm,
wow,
not doing any strenuous,
wow,
exercises.
Amazing.
The only the only thing that I'm doing is doing either jogging in place or walking. That's it.
See, I think that's really cool. I think there's, you know, so many of us, myself included, when we think about increasing our activity level, we think, you know, we get these mental visions of having to put on a track suit and go run a marathon or something like that, when just doing anything more than what you're already doing, is it helps. It makes a difference. And I think what you're describing is a clear sign of that.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I know I never thought that, you know, taking 10,000 steps a day would do anything, but I guess 10,000 steps is like walking 3 miles a day, so it would help, right? But it just, I think I knew the facts, but the data behind it and me sleeping better totally helps. So now I'm kind of putting myself on a challenge to see if I can continue to get my 10,000 steps and to see what that does for me in 30 days.
So tell me about, you said you created a standing desk at work. Tell me more about that. Is this like a do-it-yourself kind of thing, or did somebody come in and have a standing desk? Like, is your workplace into that kind of thing, or tell me more about that?
Well, so my job is into it. It just hasn't, because we're in the process of moving buildings, so it hasn't, like, hit our area yet. But they do have someone that comes out, and if you're interested in it, then they'll set you up. However, my makeshift desk consists of an old box, and it has my keyboard on top, and then I took a computer stand, and I put my phone on top of the computer stand, and then I kind of moved over like a little shelf so I can write on. And it's funny because, and then of course my computer, I have two computer monitors, so they're hooked up to the wall so I can kind of, you know, raise them up a little bit. And then everybody, mm-hmm, at work was like, how do you feel? Do you really like that? I'm like, yeah. They was like, gosh, I've always wanted to do that. And now people are starting to say, you know, I've had back problems, and my, you know, chiropractor is told, you know, this is a conversation I had this morning. Their chiropractor told them that they are having problems with their back because they sit down all day. So she came over to me and asked me, how did I like it? I said, I couldn't see myself, you know, not at least standing up for half the day, because I went to a town hall meeting today, and it was kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be sitting down for 4 hours. I got to get my steps in before I sit down. And then when I was sitting there, I felt bad because I was sitting. and then my feet started to fall asleep, and I just felt tired instantly. So
wow.
I think my job, so I actually talked to my supervisor about ordering me a stand, you know, the proper stand to be able to raise it and lower it. But, no, that's something I just did. I just got tired.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. That's, you know, way to not wait for it to happen and use that as an excuse. I like that you just went ahead and made something work for you. That's cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it probably if I didn't have the challenge, because they're really pushing me. They're very supportive. Everyone that's, because I'm in two challenges. Everyone's very supportive and it's fun, but at the same time, if it wasn't for that, you know, me getting the Fitbit and me actually seeing the benefit of it and the importance of me standing, I probably would have never done it. Yep. So totally took me outside of my box.
Yeah, it's very cool to hear about the challenge, you know, that peer challenge motivated you in such a good way. I think that there's often a lot of people, myself included, can get a little intimidated or afraid of doing those challenges because they worry that they're going to be. Well, I always use the comparison of playing chess with someone that beats you every time. At some point, it becomes it's not fun anymore because you never win. But it sounds like you feel very supported and everyone's encouraging and that kind of thing. I love to hear that, and I think it's a really good example of this model working well.
Right. I'm not going to say I was getting discouraged, but I was like, instead of me thinking, oh, I'm never going to make it, I started thinking, okay, his goal is he's at 124,000, so he's competitive. Carrie's competitive. But for me, as long as I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do, and if I can do a little extra, I'm okay with that. But I think it's just a friendly competition just to get everyone going. Because I remember somebody saying, oh, gosh, I'm not even going to be able to compete because you all already have so many steps. And we're like, just keep going, because it's not about that. It's about getting about moving. So if your goal is to hit 4,000 steps or 10,000 steps a day, and if you're participating in a challenge, as long as you hit your goals, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's great.
So what you been up to, Scott?
Just working a lot. And spring is springing here, so it's been nice to start enjoying the warm weather here. I'm liking that. I'm excited that cycling season is getting, coming, so I can get back on my bike this, now that the snow has melted and the weather's turning warm and all that good stuff. So, it's just staying busy. Sometimes a little bit too busy, but doing all good things, of course. We're of course heading into kind of a busy diabetes conference season. We've got the American Diabetes Association meeting, scientific sessions coming up in Boston early in June, and then right behind that is the Friends for Life meeting down in Florida, in Orlando, in July, and August is the American Association of Diabetes Educators annual meeting. So there's a lot of big meetings coming up that I'm going to be attending at least some of those, hopefully most of them, and if not all of them. So I'm looking forward to those. I always have a good time and learn a lot. And that's kind of what I'm gearing up for a bit of travel and learning a lot of good information. So what about you? You mentioned this this event. I'd like to, I don't know if it's is it something you can talk a little bit about, or what's the deal with that? Cherise, can you hear me?
Hello? Hello?
Okay, yep, there we go. I got you now.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, Janssen paid for, you know, my travel and my lodging and also my food. So let's get that full disclosure out there really quick. Basically, mm-hmm. It was an evening or a weekend that took place this past weekend. And what they did was they brought advocates together from different disease states. So you had, of course, diabetes. There was Crohn. There was a schizophrenia. There was a lot of parent advocates there. There was rheumatoid arthritis advocates, just to name a few, and a whole bunch more. But basically what it was is, and what they wanted to do is that usually we spend the online community, no matter what community you participate in, we spend a lot of time advocating online for others, right? But the cool thing is that we were actually able to spend time together and, you know, listen to this amazing keynote speech by, he goes by Dr., I'm sorry, D. Dog, MD, and he pretty much revolutionized healthcare. Actually, when I was sitting there listening to him speak, he reminded me of a lot of George, because he took and he created videos based off of different healthcare conditions. So, like Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson's song is about, he did a song, a parody to it, about prostate cancer. So he was really good. So he talked about, you know, staying outside of the rectangle and how, you know, our community, our people think that the online community and e-patients is a part of Health 2.0. And he said, you know, his ideal is that we're a part of 3.0. And he said that 3.0 is pretty much how we use interaction and how we talk to our peers. And pretty soon, that's the way that healthcare is going to shift. So I found that pretty interesting. There was a different session on analytics, which for me, I am not an analytical person. I could care less about how many people read things or participate in things. My thing is, of course, as you know, is to always just help one person. If it's more, then that's a bonus. But then, as I started to think about it, I'm like, okay, even though I may personally feel that way, when it comes to DCAF, Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation, I need to know those numbers. I need to know our audience. I need to know how many people we reach. I need to know that information for funding and whatever else I may need it for. But so it was cool because he offered different tools, and he actually made me think about what our target audience is. Because if I ask you right now, what's your target audience in the diabetes online community?
I would say people living with diabetes, but I think that's way too broad. Yeah, it's way too broad. So people living with diabetes who need some help finding, recognizing their own strengths. That's how I've been kind of thinking of myself.